time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne on a happy Monday. Had a great weekend. How about you, Dave?
I had a great weekend.
I want you to know that I walked the walk this weekend.
You did?
Yes. I shopped at the Salem Center.
Uh-oh.
I hit the big box stores. I even ate at or I bought food at the food court.
Nice.
And then I went to elsewhere in Salem and spent my dollars locally. And I didn't just sit in the cabin and order things online. Support the local retailers.
That's right.
All right. It's Monday. We've got a great guest today here on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN. The noon hour we spend talking about local issues, local individuals, local ideas, local institutions. And we have an individual here. I have a lot of respect for and appreciate you coming. And we have County Commissioner Sam Brentano of Marion County. Sam, welcome.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm going to apologize already. I've been trying to ignore this cold that won't let go, but I'm keeping my distance.
Tis the season. I'll keep my distance as well.
Excuse me while I back up.
Yes.
So for the listener, Sam has been a county commissioner since 2003. I wrote in my notes 4 because that's when he was elected and took office. But he was appointed before that. There was a vacancy left by Mike Ryan. It goes way back. And Sam has an interesting past. That sounded sordid, didn't it?
I don't know.
Interesting
spat. It hasn't been that interesting.
That whole
me.
Gunslinger background. No. Sam's a local guy from Sublimity, served as a mayor of Sublimity for a long time. He had a big stretch there, right?
10 years.
Mayor of Sublimity, and that was 10 years before he got into county commissioner work.
Wow.
Impressive. When you became county commissioner, and we've got a story, you had just retired, right?
Yes, my father died in 1995. We ran a garbage company, rather one of the largest ones that nobody knew existed, but ran it for 5 years and had a, you know, situations with families are, and not just that, got a good offer. We sold the business, so I was essentially retired at 49. I had 5 kids, pretty happy with my life. We live in the Sublimity in Staten area. Kids went to Regis St. Mary's, and so I fish and hunt and went to every one of their games, kept the fields up. They're always nice anyway, but I think they were particularly nice for that time. And life was good.
And then you had to go and decide you're going to be elected official.
A good friend of mine, Greg Olson, he was actually an interim sheriff and for a number of years anyway. He always asked me why, and that's just our joke. He says, why are you here? You had it made, why? And I can tell you, it's a longer process I'm not going to get into probably and how I actually got there, that the mechanics of that, but the why is I didn't just want to have a bit of success in life and then with 5 kids give the example that all you do is sit back and coast the rest of the time. So I fulfilled that goal, I guess. I haven't coasted, and pretty happy with things.
And I've heard you say that years ago, actually, something very similar, and the example you want to set. And since we're mourning President Bush today, passed over the weekend, one of my favorite quotes that flashed on the screen this weekend is like, the measure of a life well lived has to include public service. And I paraphrased that. I did not get it right. But of course, he spent his whole lifetime, and I heard you say that not long after you got elected. Within a few years, you didn't want to just sit in the lounge chair and hunt and fish and have your 5 kids. Think that there wasn't something that you could do to provide and to give back to the community. That's admirable.
I'm not trying to brag about myself, but that thing about public service or trying to give back to the community, I was also 20 years as a fireman, EMT, even assistant chief for a number of years, and active in church, and I mentioned the 2 schools there. So that's always been important to me. And I probably got it from my dad because he gave me some, I don't know if it was a lecture kind of thing, just in a drive talking about how organizations succeed because their membership are active. You can't just be there. And maybe I took that to heart, but it has always been important to me.
The lessons we learned from my father. Some of my
foundations.
Father, he believed in public service. He lived in giving back to the community, belonging to your trade association, and all of those things. And frankly, his career did not permit him to give back for most of his life. And I think when he did decide to give back, he was active in the Area Lions Club. Area and regional and national Lions Club. South Salem Lions, shout out to them. Great work, incredible work. He'd come home proud every day. But he probably put in 40-hour weeks for 10 years as a volunteer after he stopped working. So,
you know, I never thought of this at the time, but all these organizations, I was on the Sylvan Hospital Foundation, the Regis Foundation, and you put your time in and you think you're not doing for yourself, but as it comes around, maybe me being a commissioner is a result of, you know, the associations that you make with people or the issues you're aware of, and somehow it seemed like without meaning to, I was kind of prepared. I have had people come in and they want to be, you know, they want to be in politics, they want to be a commissioner, and so say, so what do you got to do? Well, I tell them, and get involved in your local community first and get some basis to give you a background for a foundation for what you want to do.
How about not want to be involved in politics and just want to be involved in public service? Speaking of which, so we have three commissioners. We had Commissioner Pope on from Polk County last week, and we have three commissioners in Marion County as well. You serve with Kevin Cameron and with Janet
Carlson.
Janet Carlson, and she's leaving at the end of the year, correct?
Right. In fact, tomorrow is her retirement party, so she's calling it a party. It's an event. I don't know. I've been trying to think about that. Give me 5 minutes to talk about 15 years working with somebody that's really an outstanding person. I don't think anybody deny that has ever met her. So I've been working on what that might be, and I've decided I'm not going to talk about issues, but you have to know we've had issues over this 15 years, you know, from Courthouse Square was probably one of the really big ones, and just one incident or after another. And we've gotten criticism, our board has, you know, three Republicans, but I really feel good about that we always came, even when Penny Milne was there, three call ourselves conservative Republicans, but three different viewpoints. And when we got done with an issue, I'm pretty well satisfied that we'd molded over and worked for the best answer. So I've been real happy about that. But it's right now, it's such a transition time of as Janet leaves. And in fact, I just spent about an hour just by coincidence visiting with Colm, and he's learning about the county and interested and, you know, fired up and ready to go. So we'll make some changes, but I think it's going to be good. And I think that same viewpoint and trying to come up with the best answer is going to prevail.
And Colm Willis just got elected as county commissioner in November.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough campaign, actually, against our county clerk, Bill Burgess, who we've talked about on the show.
Multiple times.
Have you?
All right.
So we'll spare you, Sam. Sam, we understand he's an employee of the county, and we'll be the ones that talking about that. But we're glad Colm's with you and hope he is up for the job, and Janet set a high bar. And I've watched the county commissioner for a number of for as long as you've been there and a little bit before. And I know that you kind of subdivide the interests that you could be able to divide and conquer the different topics and some things that you have more expertise in and some things that Kevin Cameron has more expertise or interest in, right?
Well, it has. People understand how big the county is, and, you know, we have like 19 different departments and deal with just about everything in humanity you can deal with, from law to biology to engineer, anything can come up. And everybody kind of has their if not expertise, at least their interest. And we've been able to go that. But it's unique, too, because we're all responsible. You know, it isn't like one person's responsible. So all three of us. So you can't go out and say this is the way it is. And our opportunity is the way it's set up to be able to visit and discuss an issue. We have to take advantage of those times, you know, a notice meeting, and we do have a official meeting. So
yeah, I'll bring that back up. Next segment, we're going to talk about solid waste. So hang on. It's a lot more interesting than it sounds.
Oh.
We have a very interesting system, and we have some decisions to make. And actually, we'll touch just real briefly on that, you know, the law about having a two of commissioners in the same place and being able to talk. So anyway, Sam Bertano is here from Marion County Commission. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on Newsmakers KYKN. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hunting and fishing every day.
Good.
We picked that one for you.
You have to put the headphones on to hear
it. Welcome back to Newsmakers with County Commissioner Sam Brentano. There's so many things to go to, so I might start talking fast. There's so many things to talk about with him. But we did pick that song for you, Sam, because I know you could have lived a life of hunting and fishing every day. So just before the break, sunshine law is the word I could not get out as I'm stammering and stuttering on live radio. So thanks for staying with me. And a lot of people don't realize there's three commissioners, but if two of them are talking, you have a quorum, and they can't do that unless they're in a public meeting. So whether it's – and that's so, you know, commissioners A and B can't gang up on commissioner C and whatever reason. But if you've got a quorum, which is two out of the three commissioners, you can't talk policy. You might talk about, you know, Christmas shopping or something, right?
Right.
Talk about your how many fish you caught this last weekend or something. But there are ways to get around that because you and the other commissioners obviously need to communicate about how you feel about policy and priorities, right?
Yeah, the only difference has to be a notice meeting or a place where together in public with and recorded. It's not a big problem. We're not surprised. We use those opportunities. Management update is a big one. It's a Monday, usually a Monday meeting. At the end of it, we allow time to bring everybody else up on the committees we've been at and interesting subjects. And if we have some questions to throw it out and see what advice the others have. So it works. And I'm going to tell a thing, and I mentioned it while we were off, but it reminded me of it. I'll just say it like it was. Democrats tried to force a charter through 6 or 8 years ago, and they used that as a big thing. And there was a person named Bob Cannon, former counsel, and his argument at a debate on the subject was that as a member of the city council, he can go into a Salem restaurant, drink a little wine with his other council members, and make a decision. And I jumped him, and I said, that's exactly why that's wrong. That's a backroom deal, and that's what we can't do and you shouldn't be able to do. And people saw through that. It was just truly a ruse to try to break into the commission with Democrats. And
well, I'll take that sunshine law prohibition over what we saw at the Salem City Council a week or so ago.
Well, it protects people, no doubt.
I thought it was despicable, honestly. They had already decided how they were going to vote. They already decided the tactic they were going to take to push the bridge question off until next year and not to have to go onto record. And it was so obvious. It wasn't just obvious. It was stated that we are in doing this, and it didn't matter that 50 people showed up and talked because they'd already made up their minds about in the back room, somewhere ahead of time, how they're going to vote and how they're going to sidestep the issue. But I digress. Let's talk about what we
just
do with our solid
waste.
If
you remember, I was actually there. I actually spoke not very effectively with this cold, but at least I got on record of why they were wrong.
Hopefully we'll jump back into that because the question I asked of Commissioner Pope, I'm going to ask Marion County as well, is can the county sue? Can the county sue the city of Salem to finish the work that you all collaboratively did?
I tried to look for all sorts of different means since this, you know, last 16 months has been stopped. I don't know of anything other than it's just going to, well, we missed the opportunity. That was part of my testimony. This is a generational chance to finally move something along, and they're making it where we're going to miss it and it won't happen again, probably in my lifetime. So they want to strangle Salem. You're going to have to always look back to this bunch and say, here's what you voted for, here's what you got. And it's wrong.
Yeah, can't wait for one of them to run for a higher office even. All right, my topic is solid waste. And I know that everyone's thrilled to listen about that, but I toured the Brooks Burner probably down in 2000, 2001 and thought the model was fascinating. So we take our, in Marion County, we take our waste and we truck it from the transfer station and it goes to the Brooks Burner and they burn it up. And then they go through a series of chambers. They try to, when the price is right, they try to reclaim the metal. It goes through a series of chambers where they clean out chemicals and other particles and what have you. You end up with a sterile ash, right? Just right? Mm-hmm. A sterile gray ash. And that's a lot easier to deal with in terms of where you dump it and how you fill and blah, blah, blah. And it generates electricity, right? And there's the third party that actually owns the facility. So I looked at that, and I'm like, why don't we do more of that? And now we're at least worried about the end of the useful life and its capacity. So Commissioner Brentano, your thoughts on the Brooks Burner?
Just one little correction.
Yeah.
Metal is sorted out of that good market or bad. That's one of the, I could just go through it. So we recycle, we can, everything in Marion County before it gets there. And then the garbage burner, it just as you said, it burns it. They extract electricity, extract metal, reduce it down to an ash, sterilize it. And actually that ash is being used as daily cover at a landfill in Corvallis. So, it's a complete system. Now, your question is why aren't more doing more of that, other areas? Commissioner Randy Franke led the charge about 30 years ago on getting it built. And the downside was the expense at that time. And it's still the expense. When we looked into, it's full now. We're at capacity. When we looked into it, it was planned for a third burner. There's two boilers, I should call it. And even with that planning, to add that was about as much as the facility was new, and it was $80 million. And I think it's even more than that because I got $110 million it took to expand it. And we only have capacity for about 60% of that additional, so we'd have capacity we would have. So we'd have to be either buying, importing waste from some other. Anyway, it doesn't pencil out at this time.
That's my next question. Is it more expensive or less expensive than what Multnomah County is doing with theirs?
Well, I don't know about that, because by the time you collect it and transfer stations and haul it across the state and then dispose of it, their price, they pay just about what we do or maybe even a little bit more. But they have another thing in Multnomah. It's something like a $32 kind of handling fee that they put onto the system that we don't.
Would it pencil out for us to build three of these and become in the business of burning other counties' solid waste?
Sure, pull it in from the other counties.
Well, we've looked at that, but here it is just a lot more expensive. And that I've left out and is the value of that power. It doesn't make sense to me, but the reality is that it's worth about 25% of what it was when it was built, the kilowatt hour. There are other alternatives. There was a program, I should know the name of it, but there was a program where power companies had to buy at kind of a price. And when this was built, Marion County took advantage of that. Well, that expired roughly 5 years ago. So I can just say it this way in general terms, and don't ever quote and let me quote stuff, but it's like we were getting $6 million and now it's like $1.5 million. Well, that $6 million went to pay for operation and paying off the bonds and all this kind of stuff. Well, that isn't there. So that support, if you want to build a new one, isn't there either. The value of the product. It seems like some of them being built, and we've looked into it. For example, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and looked at their facility too. And they're adjacent to a petroleum processor. Now, wouldn't you think with petroleum, got all the energy in the world, but they still found it cheaper to use the steam generated by this garbage burner there. And so I'm trying to make the point, if electrical generation doesn't supply, that perhaps steam. So if you had the right customer, maybe that make that work might be something going in the future. But we're in a real, again, I'm overusing the word transition time, but that is where we are. Our contract with Covanta is up, and we're working on a new one. The energy sale, that component of it, isn't as high.
And Covanta was the original builder and the owner of the facility.
Well, there was prior, but they're the successor of an Ogden Martin, and I should remember the Trans Energy, I think, was the original one in the 1980s. But so we're working hard and how that's going to be. One of the brightest aspects we have is the garbage collectors. And I was also the president of the Garbage Collectors Association for about 20 years. Haven't been for 20, how time marches on. But still think highly of them. They're working there, and we just signed an agreement for what's called a MRF. And it's just a industrial-grade recycling facility that they're working on, and we're certainly supporting, that could allow us to deal with the capacity, you know, issues that this county is really growing and the economy is booming and garbage and waste is being generated. But they're going to go out and site a big time plant and really help the county out and buy us more time to keep within the parameters of the capacities.
And that plant's having to do with recycling, you said?
Absolutely, or, yeah. Wow. And reuse, which is even higher on the list.
Yeah, this is going to be a big issue moving forward for Marion County. I know we make it look like it just disappears, but we're either burning it or we are, like in Polk County, they're filling up a canyon. And all over the nation, all over the state. So we have to ship it somewhere, fill a canyon, landfill, or the model I like is the one we utilize here in Marion County with Brooks Burner. So good luck to you on that. I'll be following closely. If we have updates, we want you back. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne here talking to Commissioner Sam Brentano on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Whenever I chance to meet some old friends on the street, they wonder how does a man get to be this way.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. By special request, is your wife listening to us here, Commissioner Brentano?
Well, I told her, but she doesn't pay much attention to me. She said, you know, you can do anything you want, just don't make me be part of it.
She must be very. You've been married how long?
I got to do the math. Roughly for 39 years.
Congratulations.
1979, what's that? It's a bunch.
Congratulations. Like the commissioner, when you said you had issues, over the last, boy, 14 years you've been there, you don't go to 39 years without going through some stuff. 39 years and five kids and deaths in the family and career changes and this and that. So congrats to both of you, actually. And you have five kids.
Yeah.
So we're talking here on Newsmakers with County Commissioner Sam Brentano of Marion County. I'll tell a quick story. We're going to talk about all the things the county does from, you know, children and family to timber. But so I was really interested in public safety, Dave, and I decided, and I was asked, hey, would you consider this, and would you run against an incumbent? And I decided, I filed to run again. So, and this was like almost a full year before the election, right? So it was going to be my first time. Well, the incumbent I challenged, he resigned like 4 months later, so there's this vacancy. And due to some election laws, I was not I'm a declared candidate, right? So
right.
I wanted to be in the hopper to get
sure.
This is a job I was seeking. And anyway, some election law rules, I was not eligible to be appointed. So there was a new pool of people that could be appointed by the existing commissioners and this and that. And this guy out of sublimity steps up and says, I'll do it. And it was Sam Brentano. And he got appointed. And then I'm looking at Sam. I'm like, I kind of like Sam.
Uh-oh.
And then I look at Sam's history. He's a small business owner, you know, pragmatic, and, you know, all these good things. And so I'm like, gosh, I really can't go out and knock on doors and tell people I'm going to do a better job than Sam Brentano. So that ended my my short-lived career and desire to be a county commissioner, and it started Sam on his way. And he filled the vacancy, won the election the next year, and we've had him ever since for 14, going on 15 years.
That's awesome.
So, thank you.
I think you'd have done fine, by the way, yeah. Brett. I'm sure you would have.
So yeah. Many things have happened in those years that, at any rate, but no, I'm very happy you're there. And how long have you been there, and how long are you going to stay?
I'm not going to say that. I've surprised myself right from the beginning. I was going to fill in for a year, and I found out once you're there, you kind of got to decide what you're going to do. I have 2 years left. I want to accomplish some things. I want to see how I feel. And if I can guide, if I'm not going to do it, I don't want somebody that's just going to come in and tear it all apart and kind of tell me that I wasted my time for all these years. I want some continuation that's been. I'm not trying to take credit for this, but between all of us, it's been a very good job representing and protecting Marion County.
So Marion County touches a lot of different things. We talked about this a little last week, but there's, of course, there's county roads that don't belong to one of the 19 towns and cities in the county. 19. I got that number right?
20.
20. There's public safety running the jail and
right.
funding that, of course, ever since 2003. I've had interest in that and trying to budget that. And, of course, how they handle things like timber and natural resources and all of that stuff. So tell us to touch a little bit on the public safety budget and the jail, its capacity, whether or not it's fully funded, whether there's room for more, and all that.
Well, I'm not going to be able to give you exact numbers, but roughly 78-80% of our what I call discretionary money, some comes in from federal governments, Medicaid, et cetera, health department, all assigned. But for tax revenues, franchise fees, license, et cetera, the money we have control over, roughly 80% of it goes to public safety, sheriff, jail, district attorney, courts. So it's no small number. But at this time and for the last couple of years, I'm going to say last 3 years, we've had a pod closed in the jail. Our programs were handling it. Frankly, I can just say it like demand was down. We didn't need any more. But we're not there right now, and it's creeped back to where it's full. It's full all the time, which means puts us in that classic situation that we have to let somebody go. And how vulnerable can you be? How wrong is that for the community? But it takes something like $3 million a year to refill it, is how I'd say that, at a time when state assistance through a series of funding is down. But I guess I'm making it a priority. I want to see
that.
It come back, because I don't want, that's the worst thing that can happen, both, well, for responsibility, but even worse for danger to the public. You hear about it happening in Portland. We've had a couple, there was one in Kaiser, I forget that, they got right there. We have a very in-depth, comprehensive review of each person and their propensities and dangers, risks. But as that number is full, the person released might not be there. I'm working hard to change that right now.
So, Dave, the jail is in pods. It's in sections. So, and it houses X number of prisoners, guests.
Per section.
And when there was low demand, they were able to shutter a whole pod, but now we're at capacity. Mm-hmm. And so now people are getting, and this is a big issue, and where people get released early or just not even held. And is that person still a
hazard? Well, Brent, I have to make sure you and other people understand, it isn't just the jail is our capacity to hold people.
Right.
There's a work release center, our parole and probation programs. I mean, there's a continuum. But if just picture that if you're full, that levels change and who's in the transition. So we need to roll it. We need to dial it back. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm working on it.
And the work release center is a decent model. When I was an employer and employing some entry-level workers, I employed people out of the work release center. These people went in for nonviolent crimes or whatever, and they were able to be incarcerated, right? But they were released to go work in the community. So they were released, and they would take a bus to my workplace, and they take a bus back with... It was an interesting model, and then people were able to make some productive use and get some job skills. Did I describe that okay?
Yeah, it is, but I'm still thinking of the funding part. It isn't just finding some money for this year. It's finding some money for every year. So you got to make some choices and perhaps give up some things, and those are what we'll be working on early this next year.
It's always going to be a task for anybody who's got the public dollars to try to prioritize it. And what you know, of all the things, and actually, I remember Senator Smith said that he was the first person I heard say it. I'm sure he wasn't the first person to say it, but there is no end to the list of good things that the government can do with your money.
Sure.
Right? They could go out, you know, they can pet your dog for you. I mean, there's no end of the list of good things that we could all argue are good things. But is it a priority? Do we want to pay taxes for the government to take on that role? So those are the, where's that dividing line? You know, our city council and our county commissioners and our legislators need to decide. And that's a tough role.
And that's why they're elected to that.
Yeah. And on city council, we had to decide not to do a soccer program anymore, right?
A very popular
Kids.
Program. Even
yeah.
I saw some of that.
And then, lo and behold, private sector of volunteers, you know, kind of took up that slack. And
as well they should have.
At any rate, it was a very tough decision at the time because they were serving a lot of youth with the Parks and Rec program, and the same with the pools. Anyway, so I think we're going to see more and more of that. And frankly, I appreciate the fact that 80% or so is going to public safety, because if you're not keeping us safe, then there's little reason to go to priority two.
Still, that's their main priority, right?
Yeah. So we talked about your wife just briefly, and you've been married, and you have five kids. Are they all in the community? We want everybody to know a little bit about their commissioner.
Oh, I wish I had a little more time to tell this whole story. I think I'll just tell it like it is, because we don't usually ride together or talk together, but we were at a meeting in Woodburn, and...
Who's we?
We as a county commission, we have a monthly meeting there, Commissioner Carlson had come with the sheriff, and then he got literally called out. So he said, Sam, can you take Commissioner Carlson back? I'd be happy to. So we're riding back, and I know how serious Janet is about her family, and I was kind of putting it on her a little bit. And my quote was this, say, Janet, I got five kids. They're all live within, with the exception of one, live within 2-3 miles of me, have nice jobs and homes in the state and sublimity area. The fifth one had worked in Portland and lived in Tigard. And I know she has a daughter in like Hawaii, Texas, Idaho, and she's traveling all the time, and I'm just putting it on her. Not, I had to be slapped down. Okay, in the next meeting I'm at, I get a text from my wife, and it says Ricky's moving to Boston with my brand new grandchild. I just stopped the meeting. I said, Janet, here's what I get for bragging myself up. But I've just been blessed with five great kids. The oldest, Nate, is an accountant, works for State and Telephone, essentially, in Mont Angel. Sarah is the vice principal, really principal, St. Mary's School in State. And Becky, the youngest, just had a kid. And one, Andy, he works for a construction company, just had another baby. The one in Boston just had a second daughter. My wife's leaving tomorrow night to go visit him. I don't get to very much. We do the Skype thing. I'm not happy about it, but
at least you get to see him.
Well, yeah, but I only got there once, and young Quinn, she's a character, and she, when I first got there, her only words was no, no, da, da, and I'm not making it up. After 5 days, she learned no, 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 Grampy.
Oh,
and
boy.
Yeah, she got that down good.
Well, lest it, you know, not be obvious, Sam has roots in the community. And not only do we believe in that the government the closest to the people is the most effective and the most responsive, it's really nice to have somebody there. It's really nice to have somebody that has such deep roots in the community, family-wise, business-wise, extended family, and
I'm
so forth.
I'm going to interrupt you, Brett, and how much time we got, but I talked about getting prepared for it. One of the other things that happened in my life is I grew up always in Marion County, with just a little exception. I was born in Tillamook. That's all. Oh, I tell that story. I love that story. I was born in Tillamook. So I told my wife, you know, I was born in Tillamook and I'm going to die there. And she looked at me. I'll never forget it. She said, well, you know what? That's just awfully sad and lonely. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, but I grew up in St. Paul, school in Woodburn, went to high school in Mont Angel, and then it closed. Kennedy High School closed. It was a Catholic school at the time. So I finished at Woodburn. And then ran the garbage companies in just about every city. And again, through that, such a wonderful ability to know people in each community and what's important to them. And it's really been helpful to me.
Good. Well, back to the county commissioner role.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think that all of us should understand a little bit of something about our elected officials. So we know how much... And we mentioned this before. We are mourning President Bush here today and how much of a family man he was, extended family, and people going talking on. And his grandkids have loads of great things to say about him. So I have a lot of respect for someone who has been married as long as you have, been through a lot of different roles in life, and have family that wants to be around you, Sam. So there's a legacy.
That's less
there.
And less so, but thank you.
That's a good sign, Sam.
Hey, talk to me a little bit about Marion County and timber. There's some timber in Marion County, and how much can we cut down, and how much of a resource is it?
This is a kind of a sub-issue that I've kind of taken charge on. we used to get, like, again, $6 million that went to our roads, came off timber, and it's just been horrible ever since. The loss of jobs, letting our forests burn, is just a horrible thing. I was able to get and become a member, as is Craig Pope, who you just had on from Polk County, on the ONC Timber Board, having to do with lands. It's a longer history than you want to get to, but the lands that were set up with this idea of sustained yield to provide revenues for the counties, and how that's been just, I don't know the right word, has it come to fruition because of environmentalists and blocking things. Things are swinging. We have our annual meeting Friday down in Eugene, so get the latest thing. Looks like there'll be some support to the counties. It's not the issue in Marion County or probably Polk County either, but these other commissioners that I work with, Josephine Douglas, it absolutely matters. It's the biggest part of that same discretionary budget I talked about. They don't get it from property taxes down there. They get it from timber revenues. And if those revenues aren't coming in, they're in trouble. Josephine County is, you know, close down the jail, close everything. I have one deputy for the whole county. They've gotten some help. It's gotten better. But actually talk about, I don't know right what the right term is, disincorporating as a county and just saying, hey, state, take it over because we're broke.
Wow.
So Senator Wyden has a plan that will potentially not replace or not even up at the levels, but return some secure monies. Basically, it was supposed to be timbers cut, revenues come in from the sale of those, and come back to the county after the government BLM has administrative and their mm-hmm. costs out of it. So you take that away, you don't harvest anything. In violation of what the act calls for, the Endangered Species Act seems to trump it all, but it's an act just like the ONC Act of 1937. Anyway, it's looking a little brighter right now and could help Marion County and more money that we can put to roads.
All right. I could probably talk timber and timber public policy in Oregon for the full hour. But
I want to talk tax and swindle before I leave here.
So all right. We'll be back to tax and swindle with Commissioner Sam Brentano. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Talk about the taxes.
I spent my entire life making sure we don't tax. That's not fair.
That's what we love about you. No, you wanted to talk about taxes.
Oh,
that's
there
why
we
I
go.
Played the tax
oh.
man.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, our final segment today of the new and hour. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and we're talking to County Commissioner Sam Brentano of Marion County, former mayor of Sublimity, all around great guy. And he loves the tax and cap and tax, tax and trade. What? Tell us about it, Sam.
Tax and swindle. I just got asked about it, and I'm having some fights with the city council and their climate change. And if I got about 5 minutes, I'll just go through. In fact, I just got asked about it today by Colm Willis coming in. He said, "You get all wound up about this tax and swindle. Where's that coming from, or what touched you off?" So I'll just do it. It goes back. The things I did in garbage, for example, recycling, I wouldn't just recycle to be symbolic, to say we're going to do something. It had to be a new product. It had to make sense economically to do, and had to generate some real quantities. Well, this is the same thing. I've watched this issue. I serve on different committees, and I'm on these transportation committees. Well, the idea is, okay, what do I know about transportation? But I've made my mind up. I care about getting people from point A to B as quickly, efficiently, and safely as possible. And anything that doesn't rhyme with that, I'm opposed to. So I started seeing about 6 years ago these Senate Bill 1037, I'll probably get the number wrong, but it was the idea of forcing people out of their cars. Well, how can I go along with that if I just want to make it easier for the regular person and goods and commodities to be able to move? And so I've drugged my foot, and I'm pretty proud of it. But now it's kind of coming to roost. The people, you've seen the election. What they're planning to do in our legislature scares me to death with this so-called cap and trade. And it's just wrong. It just truly, it's about revenue redistribution, symbolic environmental actions, and doing nothing for the environment. Let me tell you something. I know things are changing climate-wise. I'm outside. We've hinted about it. I just had the worst salmon season of my life. Warm water, no fish. I know things are changing. But whether you don't light a fire in Oregon or don't drive a car in Salem, Oregon, for a year or forever, it doesn't matter. They'll tell you that if they follow these programs, they're going to get X tons of carbon out of a gaseous volume of carbon out of the air. And isn't that wonderful? But then they can never go the next step to tell you that it does anything. Does it lower the temperature a tenth of a degree anywhere? Can you count it? Can you measure it? No. So they're willing to spend, I'm not just millions, billions of dollars on making a symbolic gesture. And all the gain of it is that we have done our part. Well, that's wonderful if the rest of the world does their part, but why shouldn't we be spending our time, effort, dollars on something that matters? If you know it's getting warmer, why aren't you, what do you need? You need more power. You need more water. Are we doing anything for those things? No. That's where they should spend their dollars and their time. But the Democrats in our legislature, they see this as an opportunity to raise revenues and redistribute wealth, and it's just wrong. Does nothing for the environment.
Wow.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I love it.
So symbolic. We're going to create this whole government cycle, find you redistribution money, infrastructure, not actually do anything about the emissions and the climate.
And make life miserable for the common guy, because it does get back to driving you out of your car without a good alternative.
And, you know, it's been said that the end game for the progressive wing of the Salem City Council is to get people out of the cars, that they literally believe that gridlock is an economic development
tool.
But
they all drive cars, too.
Yeah. The people that came down and told us that they don't need a bridge, they came down in a car.
Right. Across the bridge.
But you know, to this idea to get you out of the car, you know, it was ideas like to make it as expensive and difficult to drive as possible. Very limited parking, just like Portland. Well, I'll tell you what goes on there. I don't go to Portland. I suspect a number of other people. They want to make like insurance by the mile, as high a gas taxes as possible. Everything to make as expensive. Oh, take away lanes and give them to bikes that aren't
How
used.
About taxing the lanes now? The freeways
absolutely.
That are already paid for,
absolutely.
They want to tax
that,
those.
That all rhymes. Make it as hard, expensive, as miserable to drive as possible without an alternative. Well, that works really good for the few people in a certain physical frame in downtown Salem and Portland that can get around by bike or car, but it doesn't do anything. I tell this story. Tammy and I like come down to this like a commercial. I'll just say a restaurant in Salem. But if we got to ride a bike, walk, or use my daughter's horse, we ain't coming. So I hope you want business here. And,
right.
And I hope people get wise to what they're doing.
We do. We're talking to Sam Brentano.
Government, county, they like to say Brentano. It sounds so pretty. I just let it go, but it's Brentano.
Brentano. I run the same thing with my name. People ask me, is it DeHart or is it DeHart?
DeHart. We had that conversation when you first started.
My grandfather, I'm told, is always DeHart, but I don't really care, and I don't notice the difference. But at any rate, thank you for being here today. I would love to have you back. We come back and talk about timber. I'd like to talk about timber and the bridge.
Yes.
So
timber, the bridge.
I hope you've enjoyed.
Garbage will be big this next year.
Getting to know Sam Brentano. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. Listen to Newsmakers. Come back tomorrow. We're going to have the president, the CEO of the Salem area Marion County Home Builders tomorrow on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.